Someone's watching you sleep. It's Burt Reynolds. It's still creepy. We're kicking things off with Sharky's Machine, which was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America. The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
It is the number one movie in America. We have the full crew here today. To my right, you know him from stand-up stages all over the country. You know him from television and film appearances, including Nickelodeon Super Ninjas. You know him as a film lover and expert and all-around good guy. It's Aaron Kleiber, everybody.
I'm here, everyone. Thanks, Sean. I love that we're bringing this crew because to the right of me is a hilarious person, improv, sketch comedian, podcaster, who had a podcast about every single movie that Charlize Theron did. That's right. I said it right.
You didn't say Charlize right, but you said the last
Charlize.
Number. That's
Charlize.
Okay, keep going.
It's Robin Hitchcock, everybody.
Hi.
I love it.
And to my right, you know her from the Rugged Angel cast and Revisiting Sunnydale, and maybe you remember her years as the producer of the Pittsburgh 48-Hour Film Project. It's Camila Adams.
Hello, hello, hello. I am so happy to be here. And you know him, you love him, everybody's favorite, Sean Collier, the man, the myth, the legend.
Thank you.
Also film critic, obviously, for DVE and Rotten Tomatoes.
Boom, say that louder.
Yeah, we're here with the first episode of the number one movie in America.
This is the I keep saying this is the movie lovers Pittsburgh super group right here.
Yeah, man.
This is ridiculous.
I'm excited. This is gonna be awesome.
If people don't remember our old podcast, Sean, if you remember the old podcast, what was it called?
You Can't Handle the Truth.
We did.
Oh wait, I should finally reveal to you. I 4 years I never mentioned. I never saw A Few Good Men.
Wow.
we did a podcast named after it for 250 episodes. Never saw the movie.
Yeah,
kept meaning to get around to it.
I don't think it went to number one.
It did not.
No. We used to play a game called Has Sean Seen It?
Oh.
And let me tell you right now, this new...
The answer's no.
Yeah, this new number one movie in America podcast, we are going to find out lots of movies that Sean has not seen.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
It's going
to
be exciting.
You're like my favorite type of person because I love to judge those who haven't seen and who haven't kept up on the pop culture that, you know, I exposed myself to on purpose.
Me too.
So you're enjoying the judgment, not the joy of my discovery.
I mean, that's cool too if, you know, we want to get into all that, but... Mm-hmm. I like judging.
Sean, what year? Sean started watching movies in 2000.
I got serious about watching movies when I was about 17, which is 2002. And I like going to the movies. So everything after 2002 I've seen, I would rather go to the movie and watch a movie I don't care about than sit home and watch A Few Good Men or Gone with the Wind or Rambo or other movies that I haven't seen. So I'm trying to catch up. And I think this podcast could help me, depending on which way the random draws go. But to your point, one of our best episodes ever was with this group of four people.
Yeah, it really was. And which led us to think like, you know what? We should play around with an idea of getting these people around more.
For the first episode, and after this, it's going to be random. And boy, were we going to enjoy that. But we started with Sharky's Machine because... Robin, do you know why the charts go back only this far?
I don't know. And I know
no one seems to.
The website playback where it's like, what was the number one movie on my birthday?
Yeah.
Does go farther back.
Right. There's some spotty records.
Right.
But there are not weekend by weekend records of what was the number one movie every weekend before 1982. That's when Box Office Mojo's lists start. That's when Wikipedia's lists start. So rather than do a random one at first, we just took the first number one movie of 1982, which was Burt Reynolds directing and starring in Sharky's Machine. It was released December 18th, 1981. This was its fourth weekend. Did not compete with anything. There were no new wide releases. Won the weekend with $2.8 million. That went a lot farther back then.
It sure did.
That's a lot of money back then.
It is, yeah. That's like a bajillion doubloons.
It was less. A bajillion doubloons was good enough to get you to number one. It finished less than $1 million ahead of the number six finisher, a movie called Raiders of the Lost Ark, despite the fact that Raiders of the Lost Ark had been out since June. Because the 80s, you could have a movie in the top 10 for 6 months.
Wow. Because it wasn't going to come out on video necessarily.
No, right. They had to invent something better than Betamax first. And even then, the video was going to cost you $120. The box office total for Sharky's Machine was $35.6 million, a relative disappointment. This week, we could have been watching Taps, which lost to Sharky's Machine by less than $100,000. Never went to number one. I don't really know what Taps is.
Timothy Hutton's in it.
Sean Penn's in it.
No, it's Military Academy. Yeah, actually, it was up for some awards, I believe.
I think so.
Did some things.
Sharky's Machine would not repeat at number one. Absence of Malice took the top spot the following week, followed thereafter by a rapidly expanding On Golden Pond. And this is the second highest.
On Golden Pond is a really great soundtrack.
Okay. I'll go.
Just if you're into that stuff.
Get me a vinyl copy and a lounge room to listen to.
Really incredible orchestra.
Like a thing of brandy. This is Burt Reynolds' second highest grossing directorial effort. Obviously, movies he did not direct made way more money. 1978's The End is his top grossing film. His future things that he directed did not make much money at all.
Can I say it?
What?
Stick.
But it was a number one. We could end up watching Stick.
We might see Sharky's Machine Part 2.
He would.
It's called Stick.
He would, of course, have a good 1982 starring in The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Yes.
And Best Friends. So, before we give you our thoughts, each episode, we are going to do a 60-second recap of the plot with a different member of the panel doing the recap each time, kicking things off. Let me get the timer going. And I'm going to keep points. I don't know what they're for, but I'm watching to see if you succeed. Robin Hitchcock, the plot of Sharky's Machine in 60 seconds. Go.
Okay, so Burt Reynolds is a narcotics detective named Sharky in Atlanta. He gets busted down to Vice because he accidentally gets a bus driver shot. He then starts 24-hour surveillance on a high-class prostitute and falls in love with her. And then he watches her face get blown off, but it turns out it was someone else's face. So he meets her, slaps her around. She falls in love with him.
Right.
And then he goes and tells her pimp, hey, she's alive. And then he kills all of the people in his machine, the other cops. He gets his finger sliced off and then he shoots somebody out of a window.
Oh, that was great.
I think we're done here.
38
seconds.
Ooh.
Nice.
Nice.
Well done.
I should have talked more about the people in the machine.
I mean, did they matter? The last thing written on my list is, I don't know what happened, but it doesn't matter. That is on my note sheet.
I think I have something similar.
That's on mine. That's Sharky's Machine. And it was
spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we're spoiling on this one.
Yeah.
It's a 36-year-old cop movie.
Yeah.
We're fine.
Yeah. And if anything that Robin said, you know, may entice you to be like, oh, I got to see this.
Right?
The finger slicing is definitely a draw.
That was good.
Yeah, so I think prior to this, I wasn't sure if I had ever actually seen a Burt Reynolds movie.
What?
Yeah, and I think the only one that I have seen is Boogie Nights. Maybe Striptease, but that's it.
Oh, yeah.
You should watch Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah, Smokey and the Bandit's fun.
Okay.
It's a very good picture of his charms.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of get his charms in here. Like, I could
see,
like,
yeah.
Like, Sharky could get it. I could.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I mean, yes. Hang on. So, skipping ahead a little bit, there is, like a dating montage happens, but it's all just him staring at her from another building with his shirt off. You're at work. Why aren't you wearing clothes?
Well,
he's also drinking Budweiser.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're doing the same thing.
Oh, that's the cute part.
Yeah.
That we're both listening to every recorded version of My Funny Valentine.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a little that the whole him watching her is a little odd and like 10 minutes long. Too long.
It's way too long. And then that's just, and that's what is conveyed to us. Like, this is how he falls in love with her.
Right.
And she's not doing anything particularly interesting.
Right.
It's not like, you know, she's sitting around like she's he figures out, oh, she's so smart. Oh, my God. She's so funny.
She can play the piano. Yeah,
it's just it is kind of a I don't know. We're going right into the middle of the movie.
Okay.
Because I have so much to say.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go from this the middle part of the movie.
Well, I would first like to give a shout out to that 10-minute long opening sax solo.
Oh, that was that was beautiful. That is the sexiest 80s opening sax solo. Just like we're on a black screen and then it's like and it. That solo is 3 minutes long before I realized there was a singer on the track.
I'm pretty sure it's Denise Williams. I'm not sure.
Is it Denise Williams?
I'm not sure. I'm thinking it
I
is.
Know her. I didn't
what? Shut the front door.
What?
Another time. Another time in podcast.
Okay.
That's great. Was it her, you think?
That's what I think. And I didn't want to spoil it for myself by actually looking this up. But
the vocalist is Randy Crawford.
Damn.
Veronica Randy Crawford.
Okay.
It definitely had some there was things about it here. How are we gonna go here? Because I don't know.
This is the first one. We're making it up.
I am in so much anticipation because I just want to blurt out.
Okay.
That this movie is not as bad as I think people like. I think you guys are looking at me right now.
No. I liked this movie.
Okay.
This movie's not bad.
Okay, I'm going to disagree with you. This movie is terrible. I liked it.
It's It is not a bad movie.
I was having a difficult time catching its rhythm.
Do you know what it reminded me of? Two things, and this makes it sound way worse than it is. The first thing is The Room.
Ah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Because there are some scenes in there that are so long and so strange.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how did this make it into the movie?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing is the movie that the kids make in Super 8.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
No, there are a lot of, and this is why you don't need to include the rest of Sharky's machine in the recap. Every scene with the machine is just 6 minutes of mumbling.
Oh my
it's
God.
Just somebody goes, I don't know.
Or yelling.
I get bust down to vice. It's prostitution. It's better to smoke a cigarette, get a sandwich. And then Lieutenant Never Not Yelling comes in and tells everyone that they're doing things wrong.
What is this dude's problem?
Is Charles Durning?
He was a cartoon character.
Yeah.
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 Also the dad from Home from the Holidays, which... But yeah, I don't understand why that dude was he was just yelling. Every scene he's yelling. There's the scene in the ballpark when he's like 2 inches from everybody's face. He's just going down the line.
At that ballpark? They were like sitting on the base pads.
I honestly think that might be, this movie was you filmed in Atlanta, you get Atlanta money.
Like
a proto Avengers.
Oh, yeah,
I think that might have been come see our baseball stadium.
Show our ballpark.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, you have to do something like that. Yeah. Yeah, it seemed like they had a little bit of they tried to have a little bit of an Ocean's 11 thing happening, like a Dirty Dozen.
The Machine.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The Machine. Okay, I'm going to say all the things that I liked about the movie
because
clearly I'm the idiot in the room.
No.
So.
No. I haven't made up my mind yet.
Here's the thing. This is not bad directing either. I'm going to be honest. Mm-hmm. There were some really good shots.
Yeah.
And
the cinematographer was nominated for 5 Oscars.
Yeah. Thank you, Robin, for knowing those things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I don't
some
know
of the
his
stuff,
name.
And I'm not sure. I mean, because, you know, when we do this stuff, we read all the trivia. And, you know, I'm not sure if it's one of the things where it's like, you know, did Tobe Hooper really direct Poltergeist? You know what I mean?
Right.
Which made me think, look up the cinematographer, and I'm like, oh. Uh-huh.
But some of those really cool-looking shots make no sense. Like, the final shot of the creepy guy who gets shot out the window of the tall building, where he's in silhouette while he gives his...
Super weird.
So weird.
Definitely, it seemed like a Burt Reynolds choice.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was like no one could say no to him. The other one was when he was talking to my favorite member of the machine, Arch, the college boy who's obsessed with Zen philosophy.
Yes.
Who's talking about the first time his life was in danger as a police officer, all shot through a window with the city reflected on it.
Yes.
And it's like a 5-minute shot with no movement.
Yeah.
Just a conversation.
I will tell you why I appreciated those things is because I think they were improvising.
They say it's improvised on Wikipedia or something. One of the trivia things I read.
I was going to add, because there is a lot of the one-on-one scenes where you can tell the other actor does not know they're reacting.
Right, like the scene where he's shot, where Archer's shot,
yes.
And he's talking to Sharky.
I love that.
Sharky, like, come back.
Yeah, exactly.
My favorite scene
in the movie.
My favorite
scene in the movie.
The best scene in the movie.
Dude, like, a lot of those scenes, the one-on-ones, I liked. I was like,
because no one has seen
around.
This movie, let's just give them a brief picture of our favorite scene. Arch has been shot, and Sharky's like, I'm going to go get the bad guy.
Yeah.
And Arch is like, come back, Sharky. Make sure you kill him. And then he's like, okay, buddy. And he starts to walk away. Come back, Sharky. No, you really got to hammer him down. And it happens four times.
Right.
And then at the end, Sharky's like, I'm not coming back again.
Right.
I understand that you're still calling me. This guy could be in Alabama by now. Just the number of times you've called me back
and
here.
And finally, he's just like, I ruined a perfectly good suit.
Best character.
I mean, I give Burt Reynolds credit. Like, he was doing a pretty good job. He was.
You know what I love?
He's a good actor.
So there are three or four two-minute helicopter shots of the Atlanta building.
The opening, the opening, and the end of the film.
Did you watch all the way to the end of the credits?
Yes.
There's a clever shot of the window that the guy got shot out of boarded up.
I didn't.
Up.
Yes.
Oh, I missed that.
At the end of the
Wait
credits.
A second.
Mm-hmm.
See, now this is what I wish I would have watched that, because I actually rewound it to the end to see how they started that helicopter shot. Because I was like, wait, they just took off a helicopter outside of a playground and then did a shot of the city? I'm like, this is dope.
And
I'm like, this is unbelievable.
That was one of the two times that it's this helicopter shot that you think, this is just an establishing shot. And then, in 1981, zooms in on the action.
Yeah.
Because there's that other time that the pimp and two of the sex workers are going to a hotel party, and it, like, the helicopter shot is just as long, but it ends with them in the elevator.
That was really good.
Yeah.
I was confused. It was just like, there's a lot of things that are lingering, like, as 80s movies go.
Yeah. Right.
Like, it's like, you know, they want to use every single dime that they paid for those fucking.
Right.
Yeah. Do we swear on this?
Yes, we swear on this.
We're not going to avoid it.
Yeah.
So, like, they, like, 80s movies, like, they want to use every note that they have paid for those songs. And they.
Absolutely.
And it just turns into, like, this 15 different music videos after a while. But yes, the shot. The helicopter shot when they're like over the city, and then finally we end up in the elevator. I mean, that's pretty dope.
It was pretty cool.
And as far as, when it gets out, this movie, I had to keep putting myself, it's 1981.
Yeah.
As I was watching it, it was not done poorly. It's not a bad movie, but I just did not like it.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, yeah.
There are some things that are super red flag problematic about this. Mm-hmm. Aside from the whole, he basically stalks her and then. Right. Literally slaps her around.
Dude, I was almost done at that scene. That's
that
moment,
why
like...
it's that's why it's not on TV anymore. Mm. Because it is he like sort of calls her a whore.
He absolutely does.
Slaps her a bunch of times. In the following scene, they're like, "You're strange, Sharky."
Yeah.
And then in the following scene they have sex. That's why you're not gonna show it on TNT.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I will say that I think that that scene, those actions you're talking about are not, I don't think they're very wrong.
The slapping?
Hmm?
No. I know. What I mean is, in the context. No, hold on. Not wrong. It is right to slap a woman.
No.
Tweet it.
You're saying that it is established for the character.
No, what I'm saying is, you're saying that it's like, and this crazy thing happens.
No.
In the context of the characters and the time, I think it's very well written. It makes sense that she's this person who's been a prostitute since she was 12, and the person that hits her, she has sex with him 15 minutes later? Yeah. That's what
it's not presented from her point of view in any kind of way, though.
Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
So I'm not like, it's not like it's very far fetched. I think in real life that's real issues.
No, all of that is stuff I expected to happen in the movie.
Someone that was. Is like that happens.
The only
someone that's like Sharky.
But seriously though, like Sharky, I just feel like they spent so much time like setting him up as like he's being so gentle in his imaginary world where she's concerned. You know,
right, singing like, My Funny Valentine with her.
Exactly. Yeah. And everything. He's got these little inside jokes already with her in his own heart. And then as soon as he gets a chance where she's not going to talk to him or give him the information he wants, he turns fucking back shit on her.
Like,
he gets so mad at her when she says, "I'm a dancer."
Yeah.
He's like, "You're not a dancer."
Yeah. Yeah, that was a little odd. I'm trying to just say that like
It didn't make me go.
It sounds like
I'm out.
I'm trying to just say I'm not saying that him hitting her was
no,
correct.
I understand that's not what you're not saying that. I also understand what you're saying, that in the context of this movie, yeah, it's not out of character. It's not, but it's still fucking crazy.
Oh, it's, yeah. It's nuts. I was like, oh shoot, I thought he liked her. Yeah, I was like, what? But then I see like what you're saying is his anger is really like, wait, so you've been held hostage by this guy in so many different ways, and now you won't tell me where the fuck he is? Like, what is the matter with you,
lady?
He doesn't understand her
abuse,
form of abuse and Stockholm syndrome that she's under with this guy. Like, you know what I mean? He's like, what the, you know.
There's also a lot of awkward racial stuff, particularly about Asian villains
popping up.
Why?
I have in my notes.
Why? Informant, exactly.
Informant gets randomly nunchuck murdered by the Yakuza. That happens.
Okay.
Where did they come from? Okay. Who are they connected
to? Here's the thing. I'll base everything I'm saying around this. I watched this movie in the lens of watching all of these types of films, sure. Like before and after, like in the 70s and 80s. And this, it is, in 1981, this movie is directly in the middle. And you can see the influence of the 70s cops films.
Yeah.
But then you can really see, if this movie came out today with Bruce Willis, it would do well. Almost made exactly the same way.
Probably.
Think about that for a second. If you made this in 1994 with Jean-Claude Van Damme, the same exact way, it would do well. It's just a weird, it's a weird precursor to where action went, the fun action that I liked, you know, as a middle school boy, that now look back and like, holy crap, this messed me up, and it's all weird. It is all nuts.
I will say one thing that was decidedly noticeably missing for me was nudity.
Yeah. You know,
that is one thing
that he spies on her while she's getting undressed and while she's giving someone a lap dance, but she's always.
Did you know Roger Ebert, he praised Burt Reynolds for that?
I read his review because I'm obsessed with Roger Ebert.
Yeah, and I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And didn't Ebert say, like, you know, following his real life kind of gentlemanly kind
I think
of demeanor?
He did.
Like something like that. Like,
interesting.
I was like, huh, I'm going to defer to the ladies. I was like, huh, I mean, there are some prostitutes. It's all about prostitutes, but it was never like these gross. This women,
those prostitutes
sinners.
Were dressed like school teachers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was,
as a man, tell me what you guys think. Like, I didn't see much, like, I was like, wow, like, even the woman's, like, smarter than most of the men.
Right.
Like, this $1,000 prostitute.
They really go out of their way to be, like, she's different than the other girls who just aren't fleshed out at all.
That's true.
He doesn't make them, like, trashy or awful in any way, but they're like, she is classically trained as a dancer and a pianist.
Yeah, pour one out for the girl who actually got her face blown off, and everyone's just like,
Oh, I know, right?
I'm glad it wasn't this one.
Did we talk to Tiffany's goddamn family?
Right, exactly.
No, Robin, you're right. No, you're right. They did treat her differently, because remember when Sharky met the prostitutes in the park? And they're like, fuck you, Sharky. I'll stab you in the dick, Sharky. So that wasn't a direct quote, but
there was the spirit of it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's a little bit different.
That was his first day on the job. Yes. He was learning how to be respectful of women.
I want to talk about two scenes before we wrap up and rate Sharky's machine. And by the way, we do encourage you, and the reason we're going to draw the next episode live on each episode is please watch along.
Yes.
It's like, go to your Netflix, your Google Play, your DVD collection, go to the exchange, buy a dollar DVD and watch along with us, because I love doing that with podcasts in general. And man, would you have had a good time if you had said, hey, everybody, we're watching Sharky's Machine tonight.
Yeah. This holiday
season. It's definitely one of those films. The reason I think Robin and I like movies in this way where there are good things in it.
Right.
There are really good things. You know, there's a reason Burt Reynolds is who Burt Reynolds is. He's good at what he does, you know, and the cinematography, the music was incredible. I think all the supporting actors were pretty good.
The creepy guy who we barely talked about, the one who ends up flying out the building, excellent creepy bad guy.
He played the exact same villain in I think a Clint Eastwood movie.
I recognized him. I wasn't sure from what. Person.
Yeah. Like, he kind of looked like a deflated Chevy Chase.
He looks
like he had some really bad plastic surgery.
Right. It was Chevy Chase, dyed his hair black and had prosthetics. Yeah, it was a little bit.
But I still wasn't completely clear on his connect. Was he just a hitman?
He was the little brother of the pimp, but that's not revealed until his last scene with him.
Yeah.
They have like a Fredo, I never loved you kind of scene.
Gotcha. When he kills his brother because
his brother insults him and is like, you were never good for anything. You're a drug addict.
He's done.
Yeah.
He's like, you're done working for me.
And there's
also the
point where the hitman, is he there with Arch? He doesn't give him the headshot and he just screams in his face.
Yes.
Oh, I love that.
He does that.
He does that before he shoots Tiffany,
right,
too.
Right.
He screams at the door.
Right.
That's so good. He's on synthetic heroin.
They show him eat a handful of pills after snorting four lines of, I guess, synthetic heroin.
When, at the moment when he is one of the two smarmy guys watching this woman through binoculars.
Yes.
While a parade of other smarmy guys come to the house.
Well, all Bert needs is a Bud and a Marlboro.
Exactly.
Oh, we need to mention the other guy in Sharky's Machine, Bert's childhood best friend who has a perfect family life. Mm-hmm. As soon as he came on, I was like, gonna die.
No, the finger chopping scene.
Oh, geez.
That
yeah.
was my favorite scene of the thing where they're interrogating, where like
that,
the crooked
cop. He
Smiley?
Was pretty good. Smiley.
Smiley.
Smiley and the Yakuza are interrogating Burn Reynolds on a boat and chopping his fingers off. That seems tremendous.
It went there.
It did. But what I find especially remarkable is that we just kind of don't mention it again. You know, like
he's got a big bandage.
Right,
like
exactly.
Like Fred Flintstone stubbed his toe.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, you know, that's some traumatic stuff you went through, Shark. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't understand like why we aren't.
I don't know if, like, I felt like you guys got to watch more action movies in the 70s because
that's nothing.
When the Yakuza showed up, I was like, yeah, fucking, of course they're here. Why are they here 45 minutes in?
No, that was
the
a trope.
Little things that they plucked out of those 70s action films. You're like, oh, okay, they got ninjas. Cool. For a second, I thought
worried.
They were going to be.
Did you ever see the Pieces, the 70s horror movie Pieces?
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
I mean, it's very bad. It's very bargain basement. But that's one where it's set in a college and the eventual final girl is just walking down the quad and an Asian man drops out of the sky and starts like kickboxing at her. And then the friend character walks up and is like, don't worry, that's just my kung fu professor. He's fine. And then the guy says, sorry, bad chop suey, and walks away. This was just a thing we were doing. Like 75 to 83. That could happen at any time in a movie.
Yeah.
The Yakuza just shows up.
Yeah. And the final scene.
That's their motto.
Yeah.
The Yakuza just shows up. You know, like a lot of times on the way walking to and from my parochial Catholic school.
Yeah, right.
Yakuza would just show up out of nowhere.
In the final scene, Sharky shoots Stretchy Face. in front of eventually shoots. It takes a while. They have a talk about it.
It's back and forth.
It's tense.
And
dude, it gets pumped with like 15
and
bullets.
Did anybody see a little Die Hard there?
Well, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I was mostly thinking about Scarface, where he got shot so many times and just kept going.
It cocaine. Knocks him.
A cocaine.
Yeah.
It knocks him backwards out the window and he falls to a second death.
Yeah.
That was the longest
stuntman fall.
The tallest stuntman fall in the history of cinema.
I still think it is. Then they say it
really?
Is.
Yes.
They said it still is, but that the shot they used.
That's not on in the movie.
Right. Oh. The shot they used is a dummy, and it's quite clear that it's a dummy.
So he took.
They did a good job at the leg bend, though. Usually, I notice they have snaky legs.
Oh,
they had a good. The knee was still intact on that dummy. Very rare.
He took the longest fall any stuntman ever has.
They didn't even use it.
Just for going backwards out the window. Now, my question is. You could have done that shot from the ninth floor.
Exactly.
You could have done it for the first floor and just said, move that tree and just get the sky.
I almost guarantee that there was something probably wrong with it.
Yeah.
Where,
I think they meant to use it.
Yeah. Or they were just really fucking with that dude.
that was
a whole other level of
disrespect.
No,
yeah, we're
going
to use this. There's a pad down there.
There was also, did you read the thing about how Burt Reynolds loves showcasing stuntmen? Like, he liked coming up with things to showcase stuntmen and thought that they were, like, the unsung heroes of action movies. Isn't that cool? Yeah.
That is so cool.
I'm learning so much about Bert. Like, I don't objectify women in 1981.
Right.
I also want to... I'm like, wow, what a guy!
But to Robin's point, never has a movie screamed, like, there's going to be Burt Reynolds' butt and 4 to 5 boobs in this movie.
Right?
Louder. Like, the poster has, like, that shot where she's in a dress, but you can totally see through the dress for some reason.
When he's at the, he's the elevator repairman.
And there's, yes. there's
weird.
There are also four, maybe this.
And it, like, pans up.
Yeah, that was great.
Whip, whip, whip.
There are also 4 times that I was like, oh, I just saw a boob. No, wait, I don't think I did.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
Well, he's a
but
classy
then again,
guy.
When he was checking her out, she turns around like, oh yeah, you'll never have me. Goodbye.
Well,
you cute, but you ain't getting it.
Let's give a rating to Sharky's Machine with a nod to Beyond Yacht Rock, one of my favorite podcasts, and they're going away, so we can take it. We're going with the 1 to 100 scale so that when we've done many, many episodes, you can go and see a ranking of all of these films that we don't even have to think about.
We're going to have a pie chart.
Yeah, it's going to be graph, deviation from mean, and other math phrases.
Infographics.
Aaron, 1 to 100. Your score.
This is tough. I'm going to, you know, I look at 1 to 100 as like school grades. So that's, I got to figure out what my, you know, this is, we're setting the, I'm setting my bar now.
Yeah.
This is tough.
That's a really tough way of looking at it because anything below like a 70 is a failing grade by that scale, right?
Yeah, see,
yeah pretty
so
much.
So that's too tough.
I'm
you got to look at this
at
as an expanded 1 okay. to 10.
Because that's what we got to work out because now we're setting our, you know, we're what's it called? You're setting your line, right? You're setting your, what's it called? Come on, guys.
We're all going to let you. We're all going
to
let you.
I went to art school.
And I went to school for ministry. We're screwed.
Right.
I know. Oh, God. What'd you go for school for?
History.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Yours is worthless.
Theater. It's not a useful degree in the room.
Robin's shouting out years. And
right?
We didn't have to memorize shit in college.
No. Yeah. Yeah. 1 to 100.
Okay. I'm going to. This is tough.
Don't hurt yourself.
I'm going to give it a 77.
77.
Okay.
To Robin.
63.
Okay.
Holy shit.
Camila Adams.
60.
Wow.
54.
What? Wow. Okay.
This I is really above, thought Camila was going to be the lowest.
It's above. It's above
started,
average.
Actually, when I came walked in here, it was a 53. But I had forgotten about the yelling. That kind of booped it, kind of bumped it up a little bit.
The average.
I can't believe I forgot what I was going to say when I said Robin and I watch movies in a similar way where there's good things in it, but it's bad enough where we still enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
We enjoy the shit out of mediocre films.
I am happy that doing? I spent 2 hours watching Sharky's Machine.
I couldn't believe how
2 hours and one whole GD minute.
I think I like it more because I thought it was gonna like.
Oh, absolutely!
I remember
low
seeing,
expectations.
I remember
benefit.
Seeing it. Like I remember him. Like I remember being like a 12-year-old. Like why is he sitting there staring at this lady? She's not doing anything. There's no boobs. That's probably what I was thinking when I was 12, right. Seeing this.
Am I the only one that had not heard of this or seen it before?
I had not heard of it before we decided to watch
it. And I remember the creepy dude shooting the girl in the face. I remember that.
When
that's
I memorable.
Saw, yeah, when it you're is. Like probably when I saw it when I was 9. Far more
that
video.
Stays with you. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, sure, you can have this video, kid. We don't give a shit about nothing.
In future episodes, we'll have a segment called You Can't Handle the Truth right here to talk about movies we've seen recently. We're recording this a little bit too early. We think this is going to come out on about January 15th. It's not even January yet, so, you know, catch up. Starting next time, we will have that segment.
I mean, I have a newish movie.
I got a new movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, it's like
lightning round.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just watched Life Itself. Dan Fogelman. Dude owes me money for the amount of Kleenex that I get that gets used from watching. Like, he's also the creator of This Is Us. So Life Itself was done very well. I love the way that he attacked the storytelling, and it's just, you know, it's a real sappy, like, love and life and family sort of
on Amazon
drama.
Prime.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Free for Prime users.
I'm obsessed with Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
I can't wait to see it.
It's so good.
Can't wait.
It is. I think our friend Chris Prex said something on Facebook like, it's like it came back from the future.
Yeah.
Because it is so different from every kind of animation we're seeing in right. movies or on TV right now.
It's, my kids are begging, but I'm like, Daddy does not have $95 for us to go to the movies. It's just what it is.
And I didn't get a screener. I would give you. I did not get one. Yeah. What did you see?
I saw Vice. I'm a huge fan of The Big Short. Adam McKay, comedian turned dramatic,
right?
Dramatic historic. I mean, look at Jordan Peele. Comedians are in tune, I think, with people.
I think so too.
I really do. And
how can you not be?
Absolutely, you have to be. You have to be able to, you know, notice little things, and that's why I think Jordan Peele is incredible. That's why I think Adam McKay is killing
it.
Because comedians pay attention to details.
Exactly.
Vice was really good. I think we're going to see some serious Oscar nominations for this movie. I don't know about Best Picture. I don't think so. I thought it was choppier than The Big Short, but and the story was a little wonky. But acting Oscars, someone might get one.
Two of those three are in my top 10. Spider-Verse and Vice. Sorry, Camila.
No. I mean, it's fine. Whatever.
But I didn't see that one.
And as of right now, is Bird Box done being talked about by the time we release
it? I still might watch
Guys,
it.
Guys, what the
I don't
F?
Know.
I don't. At this point, I'm just like, I ain't watching it.
Did you see that they faked memes?
They faked memes. They like bought like, you know, Russian trolls to just push Bird Box memes so that more people would be, I guess people are watching this. Okay.
I mean, I watched it. But
was that any good?
I mean, it was good, but I just have some questions about their choice of the character that they made Sandra play.
You mean like the last four characters, five characters, six characters she's played?
Sorry, Sean. She's just like, I mean, she has kids, but she doesn't name them. She calls them girl and boy. Like, I just don't, I don't know. That whole thing is, I don't know.
She's my, I can't. I
really?
Can't stand
Aaron her. Thinks I'm obsessed with Sandra Bullock just because I liked Gravity.
Shut up.
Everyone but you liked Gravity.
That's true.
It was the. I liked it. I just, once again, I'm going to do my Sandra Bullock Gravity impersonation. 2 hours.
I prefer her in a light rom-com.
Yeah,
that's how I like my Sandra.
Her doing CrossFit, it sounded like. Remember that Adam Sandler who was like, is this two guys lifting weights or having sex? I feel like you could listen to Gravity and be like, is Sandra Bullock living her best life with some model she just met or whoever? Are there sexy times happening right now, or is she doing CrossFit by herself in her apartment?
So watch Bird Box. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
I'll go on forever by Gravity. Yeah. We're done.
And I would add, because it's probably coming out about now where you are in Pittsburgh as well, If Beale Street Could Talk is amazing. I think it's better than Moonlight, and Moonlight was my number one of that year. It is, I mean, by a hair, but I'm like, this is a little
Moonlight
bit more.
Moonlight had me in pieces. Like, after I watched it, I was just done, like, emotionally.
Well, this is more emotionally wrecking than Moonlight.
Goodness
definitely.
Gracious.
And it's
I'm
just
not ready.
Beautiful.
I know. I'm
just
like,
beautiful. Yeah. That got it my number two for the year because my number one is Suspiria. It's another Anomalisa type
I'm so
year for me.
Mad I haven't seen that and didn't see that.
That's
in the
that
theater.
Little Dakota girl, right? Or whatever her name is. I can't stand her.
Dakota well, this
not it's Fanning. The other Dakota Johnson. Melanie Griffith's daughter.
Yeah. This helps rehabilitate her.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So the big, you know, gambit, the big risk.
I'm so excited.
Of the number one movie in America is we're not doing an order. We're drawing them at random.
Yeah.
So at the end of the episode, we find out what happens next. There's only one out, and that is that each of us get one veto per calendar year. Okay.
Per calendar year.
Yes.
Does that, look, I mean, 2018 is about to end as we record this.
2019. This is the first episode of 2019.
Okay.
So if it's that bad, you can use your veto, but here's what happens. Mm-hmm. If you use your veto, we have to take the next movie. Mm-hmm. There can't be two vetoes in a row. Mm-hmm. And you have to do the next episode. You can't be like The Hobbit. Veto. Now it's Transformers. I can't make the next recording. Bye. So
yeah, because
that's
it's not
going to
be all of us sometimes.
Right.
No,
right.
No. You'll get three or four of us, but you know, that's why we made a panel. So
that's why we formed the supergroup.
Well, it's going to be speed.
We I'd love to do speed. We
I mean,
cross over
too
with
soon. Too soon.
I would lose my mind with joy if we got to do speed.
We've done so many practice draws, and they've all gone well.
Okay.
I'm going to the list of every, the alphabetical list of every week in box office.
No whammies, no whammies.
Should we do a National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation drum roll?
The number is film number 273, and that film... oh, crap.
What is it?
What is it?
I don't know. I might bust it. I might use my veto.
Sean.
Listen, here's what happened.
Oh, my God.
We might have to rethink these elephant gift rolls.
Let me tell you what led to the film that we've landed on. Once upon a time, there was a series called The Hunger Games. And then after The Hunger Games, everyone tried to be a new Hunger Games. And so there were movies like...
Divergent.
Damn it.
The film we've landed on is Divergent. Now, listen.
Seen it.
I'm not going to use my veto because this is an interesting subject because there's a lot to say about this series. And I'm curious if I watch it, again, that if I'll find anything more to enjoy.
I don't want to have to watch this.
Or you know what?
I passed this up on purpose.
I didn't see Divergent.
We reviewed movies.
I didn't. No, now that I think about it, I didn't see this.
Oh,
I saw the second two. I saw the other two, but I didn't see the first one.
It's way better than the second one.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not good.
I love Shailene Woodley. She's a treasure.
She's a treasure.
Miles Teller's in this. He's good.
There's some really hot
Is Hunger
guy
Games
in it, too.
On that list?
I didn't think that this new podcast would force me to watch movies I didn't want to watch.
Yeah, that's
really
you
did not look over
really?
The
that's
list.
That's because you
I've
haven't
seen
been
a lot
looking
of
at
movies.
You haven't been looking at this list,
right,
especially. But
like 40% of them are good.
But hey. One I didn't want to see 4 years ago. Ugh.
Hey, buddy, we're gonna get it out of the way. It's all right. It'll be fine.
We'll get Scarface sooner or later. And Back to the Future and Jurassic Park. We'll get there.
Is Karate Kid on the list?
Yeah, it is.
Ah,
yeah.
Yes. All right.
Yeah, we could land it on that, but no, we're watching goddamn Divergent. I've done so many test runs just to prove. Yep, no, this works. This random thing works, and now
again,
here we are.
We might have to unintentionally watch Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Again.
But Divergent.
All right.
The next episode. If you're following along, go home. go to your DVD collection, which surely has a copy of Divergent.
You remember what stupid DVDs you bought when you were 17. If
right.
you're in your 20s.
No,
right?
I had
4 years ago.
I had Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back on standard definition DVD at the time.
Yeah, everybody grabbed that for $5.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Not a bad grab.
So if you're following along, watch Divergent with us before the next episode. And as always, by which I mean as of right now, Aaron, you have something to add?
We should. I'm just making up the podcast as we go.
Yeah, exactly.
What if we give points to who owns a DVD? Like who owns a movie?
Oh, if like one of us owns
it? If you got it on DVD.
I like that.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of movies.
Me too.
Some of them good, some of them shit.
I got rid of a lot. I got rid of like 1,000 DVDs.
Wow.
Are you
like,
serious?
I don't think anyone gets any points this week. Anybody own?
No.
No.
Nope.
I almost ended up owning it. I almost bought it accidentally on Amazon.
Right now?
No.
You were looking it up. You're like, who directed that? Buy now. Fuck. No.
One click.
And as always, by which I mean as starting right now, we end the episode with guess what the number one song in America was when Sharky's Revenge reigned over the box office. Camila raised her hand very quickly.
No, I'm not guessing. I have a question.
Yeah, okay.
Now, you told us not to look it up.
Yeah.
But if I have like my own personal 80s playlist,
too.
I look through it and get some ideas from that.
Well, yeah, but this is just a quick, like, exit thing. We're not, like, going to have a...
Oh, I know.
Yeah. I'm even worse because I made playlists when I was unemployed this summer of all the number one songs.
Did
okay.
you?
Yeah.
So I'll have
you
a vague
last.
Idea of what was number one.
Okay.
All right, I'll just throw it out there.
Okay.
Mr. Broken Wings.
Okay.
Incorrect.
My guess is only because I know this number one song when I was born, which was 4 months before this.
Uh-huh.
Oh, really?
So I'm going to say it's Betty Davis Eyes.
No.
Ooh.
Robin.
I also thought about guessing that. I think because this was the beginning of 1982, I think it was Vangelis Chariots of Fire theme song.
Also
Ooh.
Incorrect.
Damn.
Ooh. Good guess.
That was good, though.
The second round of guessing begins with this hint. It is by a Golden Globe nominated actress.
Oh. A Barbara Streisand song?
Now toss it out. No.
At the time, she was a Golden Globe nominated actress?
She had already been nominated for a Golden Globe. At the time, this song was number one.
B. Arthur Singh?
Cher.
Still no.
Oh.
There's an iconic music video.
82.
Madonna?
No.
No.
There's an iconic music video involving, this will give it away, aerobics.
Ooh, physical.
Olivia Newton-John. Yeah.
There you
Olivia
go.
Olivia Newton-John.
She didn't want to go. Oh,
what a moment.
You know, I was thinking like Grease. Somebody from Grease. And I was like, nah.
Gone
Physical
with it.
By Olivia Newton-John was atop the charts.
I believe
Sharky's
it, yeah.
Revenge was in theaters. What a glorious time it was. Surely better than whatever week Divergent came out.
A loaf
we'll
of bread
see
was 53 cents.
We'll see you next time.
What a day to be
for
alive.
Another number one movie in America.
Theme music.